Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, recently I was in San Diego for the Traffic and Conversion Summit. And man, did I learn a lot about digital marketing and all that. I was with my friend Amanda Holmes. You're going to hear her more on this show all the time because it seems like she knows everybody. She's Chet Holmes' daughter, wrote the book The Ultimate Sales Machine, and I'm glad to have her as an acquaintance. She introduced me to a guy, though, a guy named Dustin Matthews. He has written a book with the longest, it's the book with the everlasting gobstopper as a title, No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations, the ultimate no-holds-barred plan to selling anything with webinars, online media, speeches, and seminars by Dan Kennedy and Dustin Matthews. Holy mackerel! That is a long name for a book, Dustin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alan, I'm super excited to be here. I got to first off tell you, because I know it is a mouthful, my fellow co-author that I wrote it with, also my mentor, he's a world-class copywriter, so I always get around and I say, you know, he gets paid by the word, so when he writes a book, he wants to make sure he gets those royalties.
Too funny. By the way, website for Dustin, if you want to check him out, Dustin Matthews, and that's MATHEWS.com. There's a lot of ways to spell Matthews. So also NoBSPresentations.com. Again, No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations. That's where we're going to start. But let me just ask, where would the world be familiar with you and your work and your background? I mean, you've done some amazing stuff, but give us 1 or 2 minutes. Get the elevator pitch on Dustin Matthews.
First off, it all started with a book. I'm a big student, and so it all started off with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You read that one?
Sure, absolutely, right? As a matter of fact, so I worked with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Quick story on him, and you'll laugh about this. He was doing a Rich Dad, Poor Dad minute because I'm a radio guy, right? So they said, Alan, maybe you can help Robert Kiyosaki. I went there, and there he was, and he's very monotone in some of the way he was talking. I said, Robert, you got to be excited. Guess what? He had pulled up in a volcanic orange Lamborghini. And I go, and so when I said, wow, that's like wild orange color, he goes, Alan, it's volcanic orange, Alan. And I'm like, ooh, that's cool. So I go, what color's your Lamborghini? He goes, oh, it's volcanic orange. And so it's like, that's the energy you need to be doing these things. And he says, you've liberated me, Alan. You've liberated me. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Great book. Anyway, so back to Dustin Matthews. And I'm sorry, I'm a radio guy. I'm a storyteller. Give us your story. You read the book and it changed your life, evidently.
Yeah, I got excited. I thought I was going to be the next real estate millionaire. And along the way, I found a marketing book by the guy I just wrote the book with, Dan Kennedy. And I was this computer nerd, techie guy, introverted. And I found this whole world of marketing. And we could put words on paper or on a radio or on an infomercial or wherever, Snapchat nowadays.
Right.
And we can get people to do stuff and, you know, donate to a charity, or we can get them to buy a product or, you know, opt into a website or come back next week for the show. And so that fascinated me because I'd never taken psychology. So I basically apprenticed there and learned the ins and outs of marketing. And so the next kind of phase for me to grow and learn, which I think we do as entrepreneurs, is public speaking, which I, you know, ran from in school. I actually found a legal loophole to get out of it. So I found it. Well, since you're a radio guy, you appreciate the story. So in high school, I was chasing after a girl, and it was funny. I joined this club called Model United Nations where, Alan, you actually have to get up in front of other people, publicly speak and argue a point, you know, of what your country's, you know, philosophy is on an issue.
Right.
Now, I must have been so blinded chasing after the girl that I didn't realize what I was doing. And so it didn't work out with the girl. But when I got to university, Florida State University here in Florida, you know, they made me take this public speaking class. And I'm like, no, I'm just not going to do it. And so I fought it and found a legal loophole and got my teacher to write me a note. And so it's funny because
right
to get to where I'm at now, I created a company 9 years ago called SpeakingEmpire.com showing people how to publicly speak.
You know what? That is, you know, isn't that funny how the thing you were running from, you ended up running to? We're going to take a break. We're talking to Dustin Matthews, his new book, No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations, the ultimate no holds barred plan. Oh, it's all, you'll learn about it. We'll be right back. It is the Entrepreneur Weekly radio show.
Somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
This guy, he got knocked down. He didn't want to be a speaker. And the next thing you know, he starts a business on public speaking. His name is Dustin Matthews. Young man, very, very, very well read. His new book, and it's got a long name, but we'll just leave it at No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations. And if you want to learn how to sell anything, this might be your man. His website, by the way, is his name, Dustin Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S. .com or nobspresentations.com. So the question is, you know, once you made that kind of, you had that paradigm shift of thinking, you're like, damn, I better figure this out. And now you've got this book about how to have these no BS, you know, presentations. It's a big deal. I mean, I get asked for presentations all the time. And I've always tried to put together these really colorful, really sexy presentations. And you know what? I don't put together as many as I used to, but when I put one together, I usually win the business. Anyway, back to you. So you started this whole, you know, speaking business. And can you fast forward a little bit to where you are today with this book, this presentation book, Powerful Presentations?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole reason why I decided to get behind the book and bring it is, you know, I was that guy that didn't want to speak. And, you know, I know people would rather die and get up in front of there. Now, entrepreneurs a little different of a story because sometimes their backs are against the wall and we got to give presentations. We got to close business. Right. We got to make things happen. But, you know, I still get that, you know, people would much rather, you know, try to generate leads online, like our digital marketing friends you were talking about.
Right.
They like to run a little bit from this or at least do their presentations online. And so, you know, I understand that. And so that's why we wrote the book. And so this isn't like rah-rah motivational, hey, you know, let's give you a platitude and move the audience and have them clap for you. This is about getting business. And so when you go out there, you should speak to build awareness for your company, build your brand, but also to generate leads and to generate business. And so really, this is a book for the salesperson, or this message is for the entrepreneur that, you know, doesn't want to do it just to do it, to pad the ego, but to get business. And I've been working with lots of folks in lots of different niches that are using some form of presentations to drive business their way.
So give the world a window into a, you know, a week in the life of Dustin Matthews. Do you coach people or how does it work?
Well, the model at Speaking Empire was we did a workshop. So we built a business off of giving presentations. So we do what we preach. We go to events just like the traffic and conversion. We find a way to get ourselves on stage. Or, Alan, most people don't know this, you can actually buy your way. So just like vendors and sponsors buy a booth, in some environments you can actually buy 30 minutes, an hour on stage in front of your ideal audience. So if you want to be in front of HR people, there's a circuit for that. You want to be in front of, you know, entrepreneurs? Well, you can buy that too, or you can get in front of it. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about how do I get in front of my audience, generate leads, and get sales. And so our model is at Speaking Empire, we work with people one-on-one, or I should say one-to-many, in an intimate environment to really help them write their presentation and then deliver it.
Mm. Now, but you recently exited from that company. You started it. You were there 9 years. You recently exited. So are you still involved with them, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So when I started the business, we were just doing one-on-one consultants. So for all the consultants out there listening, you know, that was great because we were making lots of money, but it was a J-O-B. It was a job, you know, even though we were the owners of the biz. And right. So we had to figure out how do we translate this. So we started to go to a one-to-many model, which is workshops. And it grew like wildfire right after we did that. And we were less burnt out, quite frankly.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's the thing is a lot of people get burned out. The problem is you get burned out because you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Einstein's theory of insanity, basically, you know. Here, let me give this. What kind of people have you worked with? Give some examples so people understand the magnitude of your clientele.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody, you know, we could name drop here, but everybody from, you know, people on TV like that you see Kevin Harrington, you know, from Shark Tank, the Shark Tank show. You know, he had a model where people that couldn't make it to Shark Tank would want to come pitch him. And so we built a seminar business around him. But, you know, you don't have to be a celebrity. And I'm hesitant a little bit to do that because some people are like, well, I'm not in that business or I'm not a celebrity. And right. so we've got chiropractors and lawyers that are doing lunch and learns and doing presentations in their own office or their own franchise doing this. And so health and wellness, stock trading, real estate, professional services, it runs the gamut. Hmm.
Talk about choreography. It's interesting to me.
I'm not quite sure we got enough time in this interview, but I'll give us the big basic. I think choreography is everything in life. You know, salespeople, to make it real for those listening in, salespeople think, oh, I just got to give a script and I'm going to close the sale. And that's good, right? You should know your role. But choreography is this idea that marketing works with sales to actually get the end result. So no man is an island. We're all a team effort here. And so when you think about it, you shouldn't just be thinking about sales if you're a salesperson. If you're in the marketing department, you shouldn't just be thinking about marketing. You should be thinking about the entire process. So if you're the business owner, how can you choreograph the whole sequence to get the result you're looking for?
Well, you can check out his book, NoBSPresentations.com, online. When we come back, I'm going to give you a chance to be the professor for a minute and teach some of this to our people here at Entrepreneur Weekly, because we do this every week. And we'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. If that is you, if it rings inside your ears, you know you've always been an entrepreneur. Right now, you're a wantrepreneur. Take the jump. I mean, this show is all about introducing you to people that can help you do that. Like our guest right now, Dustin Matthews, NoBSPresentations.com to win business. All right, now, Professor Matthews, give us some tips. Go for it.
Let's do it. So any presentation, and I know what people are thinking, Dustin, I don't give presentations. Well, think about this as a sales conversation, influence, you know, your online website. Think about it. You've got five core components, and I'll give it to you quick, and then we'll give an example of each to make it real crystal clear. So number one is an intro. Anytime you speak, anytime you give a presentation, you have an intro. Two is you've got to tell some sort of story or multiple stories. Number three, if you're taking notes, is you've got to make some sort of offer, not to confuse that with selling something. I'll explain in just a second. Four is the body or the meat of the presentation, like we're doing here. And then the last one, my favorite, is the close. And it doesn't mean you always have to be selling something, but you do need to get your audience into action. So, Alan, I'm going to break them down. You ready?
Go for it.
All right. So, intro. I'm going to give you a classic example. If you look at the president, whether you like him or not, if you look at the Queen of England, heck, let's go to sports, your favorite sports team. Before these people come out and perform or give a talk or entertain us in society, they are always properly introduced, right? You're in the basketball arena. The lights go down, right? The fireworks go off. And then the announcer comes on and introduces your favorite, you know, sports star. You know, the Queen of England, she just never walks out and says, hey, everyone. You know, it's like the 17 duchesses and royalty are introduced. So if you want to leverage influence, if you want to leverage and put things in your favor before a next big presentation in front of the board, before you meet somebody, even face-to-face, have someone introduce you. Have somebody that they know, like, and trust. So if you're going to a seminar or you're speaking at a seminar, I should say, they're probably there to see you. Real classic example, Alan, you're the king of the show. And so, you know, it'd be kind of weird if you didn't introduce me, but you introduced me.
King of the show's here.
Right?
Right.
You introduced me. But most people, when they take it to another media, whether they're at an event or, you know, they're somewhere else online, they don't think about that, right? And so you always be properly introduced and always get somebody that people are familiar with, the decision maker, the, you know, the person that everyone loves, have them introduce you before you actually give your message. So that's intro.
That's good.
Number two is the story. So every great presentation, every great salesperson, every great marketer, every great radio show host is an amazing storyteller, just like Alan. And so you've got to figure out what story you're going to tell that furthers your sale. Now, we obviously don't have a lot of time here. The hint is to study Hollywood and look for some sort of turning point. Now, Alan, usually when I tell that to people, they think of Chris Farley. You remember that skit in a van down by the river? You remember that one?
Yeah, but go ahead. Yep.
Yep. So, you know, they think of, oh, you know, I was broke living in a van down by the river. If you haven't seen the SNL skit, definitely go to YouTube and check that out.
Definitely.
It's hilarious.
Right.
Now, I know people listening in, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, some of us are in the boardroom. We're in very sophisticated. Maybe we're selling financial services. So that's like, you know, cheese central. However, you do need to tell a story of transformation. So why did the department create the software? Why did you, you know, decide to get behind this weight loss program? Whatever it is, people want to see some element of transformation, whether you've experienced it or something else. And so you want to think about, what is the story of transformation that I can tell throughout my presentation? Oftentimes it is your own personal story, but it doesn't have to be.
You know what's interesting? All right. And I'm listening, I'm tracking with you. And I'm loving it. It's all good, right on track. Keep going.
Number three is an offer. And what I mean by that is oftentimes when you give a presentation, you know, a formal presentation, you've got to educate your audience. Like, they're not the expert. They don't know that 57% of Americans are afflicted by heart disease, or that, you know, 17% of the marketplace is, you know, fumbling around with an outdated software system. Like, they don't know. Like, you know it because you're in it, you breathe it every day, whatever your expertise is. And so you can't assume your audience knows. So you have to educate them and then provide the solution. So the best way to do that is to make the offer by giving them statistics, facts, quote CNN's, quote entrepreneur.com, quote the radio show with valid stats, and then say, listen, I'm here today because of this. We found a solution, and I want to share that with you. Mm. And so in a nutshell, that is your offer.
All right. You got 1 minute to give me the most important piece of this action here.
We got two more sections, body and close. So real quick, the body is, once people are excited that you have the solution, you need to give them a science. You need to give them your process or methodology. So if you show people how to lose weight, come up with 3 to 5 steps that people can understand and follow. Maybe it's drink more water. Maybe it's, you know, get a smaller plate. Maybe it's, you know, get a, you know, one less piece of silverware there. And whatever your process is, and come up with a name for it called the Matthews Method. Because when you do that, it looks more real. It looks more scientific. People want to buy a process in a system. And so when you do that, Alan, what I want you to do as well is I want you to share a testimony or case study in between each one. The real easy part for the close is you just ask people. But people have a lot of resistance and say, listen, if you've done everything I've shared with you and you've provided value to your audience, you simply ask them, how many of you would be interested to understand how I can help you? Or how many of you would you like to take the next step to make your life a whole lot easier? And so you just transition to the close, you make your offer, and then you just tell the audience to take action.
DustinMatthews.com, NoBSPresentations.com. You can read his book. It is out there. Dustin, thank you so much. Great stuff. I agree with it all. We need to hear it over and over and over and over and over. Not a trace of doubt
in my mind. I'm in love. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hello, fellow entrepreneurs. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes. She's the CEO of Chet Holmes International. And Mary Shenouda. And all I know is she makes some sort of fudge. And we're in a borrowed kitchen coming to you. Because she said, this is not my kitchen. I'm like, it's a nice kitchen. But anyway, maybe, Amanda, you could talk about Mary a little bit and tell us what she does.
I would absolutely love to. It's my honor. Because what Mary has been able to do is really grow a business coming from a place of integrity, coming from a place of trusting your gut. So she started by building a community online, and she's over 100,000 raving, rabid fans that if she doesn't post, they go, why haven't you posted? That's a kind of following
story.
Where if someone else says something negative about her, they will all gang up on her. So be very nice on her page. Or they
like
might
the Beyonce of paleo.
Paleo, see? Now, here's the deal. I just started losing weight because I determined I'm sick and tired of my fat self. And a bunch of my buddies go, paleo, you got to do paleo and you got to work out. So I started eating better. And then, of course, Amanda says, I've got a great guest for you. It's fudge. And I'm like, I like fudge. But I think I can't eat this fudge because I'm not eating any sugar or anything like that. But this is a little different fudge than normal, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's called fat fudge, P-H-A-T fudge. And it's a functional fudge. So it's like a performance food meant to replace protein bars and goos and goops. Because I used to love those things pre-paleo. And then when I got my autoimmune diagnosis, I could no longer have those things. So this was my solution to that. And it's fat-based and really, really low in sugar, like 2 grams from raw honey, which is in there with intention. And it's taken off, kind of.
And you said something that all entrepreneurs, this resonates with all of us. You got to believe your gut, right?
Yeah, in more ways than one, too.
Right. Well, and that's why I wanted to go into that.
Yeah. So for me, it was, so we'll start with the health stuff. So I was sick from second grade, and then about 24 is when I got my diagnosis. But between that period of time, I was in and out of hospitals, a bunch of weird diagnoses that were always incorrect. And then I just knew something was wrong, and I was really tired of being in the ER. And so that's when I took my health into my own hands, and it all turned out that it was autoimmune and related to my gut and what I was eating. So trust your gut. Like, people talk about superfoods, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. We call them spices. So basically, trust your gut from the perspective of you eat something and you don't feel good, trust your gut and don't eat it anymore. And then once you feel good, the way you move about the world, same thing happens. How does your gut feel about those decisions? And I don't think you can really trust your gut in the world if you're not trusting your gut with what you're putting in your body, because then it's all like covered in mass and heavy from that kind of stuff.
And I love how you trusted your gut to launch fat fudge. Can you talk a little bit about how you did that?
So it actually began as a recipe, and the recipe was posted, and it's still public, and that recipe went viral. And a bunch of people were posting pictures of fat fudge in sandwich baggies, like, turn this into a product. And I'm like, okay. And so I made a prototype, and it was just something I bought off Amazon. I bought those vacuum sealer food things and a heat sealer, and then made the fat fudge, put it in there. I was like, okay, we have a prototype. And your options are crowdfund via Kickstarter, get an investor, sell your car, those types of things. And I'm like, you know, I really like my car. I really believe in making money versus raising money. And that has to do with my corporate background. I saw so many companies raise so much money on air in your priority shift. I wanted to really be an example of how to launch a business by making money. So I went on Instagram and Periscope, RIP, and I was wearing a unicorn head. And I said, okay, there are 50 orders available right now of fat fudge. I don't know what I'm doing, but if you want it, go order it. And in an hour, that sold out. And it wasn't that just it sold out in an hour. It was also who purchased it. I went and looked at the purchase list, and it was really interesting people that in my mind, I was like, okay, if they believe in it, then like this is going to succeed. So 50 orders means 600 packets of fat fudge. So I had to hand squeeze with a ketchup bottle over a scale 600 a week. And I did that every week until I did about 10,000. I still have the muscle to prove it.
Now you know what goat milkers and cow milkers feel like, right? It was the same kind of a deal.
Yeah, totally where my head went.
Squeeze.
And then after the 10,000, I needed a scale because it would sell out in a second. And I would emails every Monday like, what is this, a Beyonce ticket? Like, so angry about it. And I'm like, whoa, the recipe's public. You can totally make it if you want. And so I said, okay, here are the options. Again, I don't want an investor. I don't want to go in Shark Tank. I don't want to do a Kickstarter. If you guys understand that, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I'm going to find a manufacturer and I'm going to scale this. It might take 6 weeks or 6 months. If you want to pre-order it, you'll either get a product or a refund. And then that's the whole thing. In 30 days, $90,000 in orders came in on a product that doesn't exist.
Wow. On a product that doesn't exist, but it does exist because they're watching you. They knew
yes,
you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the key, is that you had built this following of people on Instagram, but it was really because they loved you, because you, how did you do that?
So when I quit corporate America to become a private chef, which is a story in itself, but when I did that, I said, I'm leaving corporate America, I'm going to move to LA, I'm going to build this business, follow me, and we'll see if I'm homeless. And the hashtag for a while was like, still not homeless. And so I shared... I don't believe in glorifying the struggle. I think that's romanticized a bit too much, but I also don't believe in not sharing that. So I would share if like a client wasn't great to me or if I lost an account or anything like that. And I would share to a point, what's going on in my personal life. So they had an idea of who I was and that I'm a woman of my word. So I think that's why it was much easier to gain their trust with the whole, like, give me your money, I don't have a product.
I mean, it was brilliant. I can't even believe. So I remember being one of the first purchasers going, yeah, whatever I could do. I got, like, the biggest, I don't know, I got a lot. I had a lot. I think I ate my last one today, which is, like, 2 years later. So I had a lot. Okay. But it took a couple of months for it to come. And I'm like, I am so amazed at this concept that you had that much trust with that many. I mean, you gained my trust really easy because I love you. But for followers that have never experienced you face to face or, you know.
And they got updates. Like, they got updates when I chose new packaging, when I picked a particular ingredient. So they were getting, I was checking in with them. Even when a manufacturer made a huge error, I sent an email like, oh man, you guys, we've got a delay. And I would share that. And I think other entrepreneurs might be embarrassed when they make those mistakes. And I'm like, my life is a series of failures followed by pivots. Because I don't necessarily believe in failure. So I would share that. And that also keeps reinforcing the trust.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a little break here. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes. And the product, once again, Fat Fudge. What is the website?
Fatfudge.com, PHATfudge.com.
I haven't tasted it yet, but I have a feeling I'm going to. We'll be right back. We're today talking with Mary Shenouda. She is the proud owner of a company that makes Fat Fudge, PHATfudge.com. You guys can check it out.
It's real ingredient performance food.
Real, right, gluten-free, keto. It's ketogenic for you guys that love that and gals that are into that kind of stuff. But I can tell you right now that the story that I've heard so far about you and your gut. Can I say that? Because I have a much bigger gut than you do, but it has nothing to do with the size of the gut. It has to do with how much you believe in your gut. I love that about you. I love how you started this journey, and I'm going to throw it back over to Amanda because this is a great story.
I love it. And some of you probably follow her on Instagram. You don't even know. Mary is at Paleo Chef on Instagram.
The one and
just
only.
So you know, yes, the one and only. Beyonce of Paleo, obviously.
Sorry, Beyonce, if you ever hear this. I'm sorry.
Okay, anyways.
You're going to get a call from her now, you know.
So I'm so fascinated by how you've run your business because I think that every entrepreneur can learn this and should implement more of what Mary teaches just in her day-to-day. So can we dive back in? So the trust that you built with that launch was so fascinating, and you have that trust where you could do anything and people will follow you. So how have you been able to create that trust specifically on Instagram?
So you were saying how I run my business. I think if I were to peel it back, I don't think I was running it like a business in the beginning, right? My idea, my intention was like, I'm going to build a business and I'm going to have followers. I was using it as an outlet to share my journey and be an example. And backtracking, I could then say I started to use strategy. I actually hate that you call it a strategy. Honesty, being authentic, holding myself accountable and sharing that story of being accountable really publicly. So I think by not treating it as a business, I was able to gain trust because then it's like you're speaking to someone that you know. And then when it was time to start a business, I already had friends and family on Instagram that are like, yes! Like, I mean, a lot of people were saying, like, finally you launched a product. I've been dying to find a way to support you.
You know what? I don't want to get too far away from that, though, because what you said there was really important. So many people have had their common sense schooled out of them. They think they have to use this strategy that they've learned in some textbook somewhere. And the thing I loved about The Ultimate Sales Machine, Chet Holmes, in his book, is that it's all wonderful common sense. Just like Mary just said, these are all things that you're born with. I mean, be honest, be transparent. Just tell people what's going on. And the truth will set you free. I mean, isn't that kind of the ultimate deal?
Yeah, I hear a lot like, oh, you're so brave. And I have like an error 404 in my head when someone says that. I'm like, I don't understand. I'm sorry that it should be brave. Like, you should just be yourself and share that journey and share that story. And it shouldn't be an act of bravery. It should be an act of existence. And compassion we're born with. And I always say the only place where power and peace can coexist is within compassion. And if you lead from there, it turns it on in other people. Not to get super deep, but it does turn it on in other people. And then you end up seeing yourself and the person that you want to support. And then you naturally want to support them. And then it keeps paying itself forward. That's the intention behind how I was playing on Instagram before it became a formalized business.
I want to bring this back to the tactical just because I know you're like, I just said it shouldn't be strategies and tactics. I'm like, but that's my world. So I have to give it to entrepreneurs that are listening to this. How can they actually put this into tangible things? So for instance, I'll never forget, I was on Twitter for about 8 years and I had maybe like 1,000 followers. I only have 3,000 now, but it totally changed my world when I tweeted out to the world and I said, I'm done with Twitter. I don't get it. This is stupid. And then Mary tweeted me back and she said, well, aren't you using it for a networking tool? Because that's how I've gotten all my celebrity clients. And a light bulb went off in my head and I went, oh. After that, I landed one of our largest clients, Ryan Dice, digitalmarketer.com. I got on stage in front of 600 business owners, all because of that one tweet that you sent me, which was like, oh, duh.
Yeah.
So that's one way that you've been able to use your authenticity of who you are as a person and just channel it through a medium.
Yeah, each social media platform requires a different voice, right? So Twitter, even though it is one-to-many because you are tweeting out to the world, it's still, in my mind, one-to-one. So when I see people that I find interesting having a conversation unrelated to anything that it is that I do, I'll hop in the, like, basketball, politics, whatever, and they'll engage with you, and then by curiosity, they're going to go see what you do. And they're like, oh, wait, you're a private chef. I need a private chef. And I'm like, that's what I thought. But that's how I got popular, was through finding one celebrity client, or he found me on Twitter. That's how Michael Mina found me, to do those pop-ups with this world-renowned chef. And then name drop. That's how these other clients have found me on Twitter. And then on Instagram, I do recognize that, unfortunately, you can't just have fun on these platforms because algorithms have come into play now. But that shouldn't take away from the essence of your intention, which is being yourself and being honest. And then finding the line of how much of the growth hacking do you want to go down? Because you don't have to. It's not always about scaling your business. It's really about loving the business and loving what you're doing day to day. And I feel like sometimes that gets mixed up.
Yeah, but how have you dealt with the giant F up of our social media world, because they keep changing those evil algorithms that you just talked about, and it's not what it used to be.
It's brutal. It definitely is brutal. I've seen like a dip in engagement, but it doesn't stop me from posting. It doesn't stop me from living my life. I feel like if I keep doing what I'm doing with good intention, it'll swing back around. There's different strategies, like, you know, go find other people in your sphere that you want to collaborate with. Be active as possible. Start emailing your email list. Ask your audience, like, could you like 3 of my photos so I show up in your feed? And that's still being human. Like, the algorithm kind of sucks right now. So it doesn't change how I'm approaching things as far as, like, I'm still being myself. I'm still sharing. I might just collaborate a little bit more than I would.
Is it quality over quantity?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. People need to measure their words. Measure their words. Measure their posts. Just take a beat before you do something.
That's a fantastic, actually, piece of advice, because so many people are just watching the numbers. The numbers, the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. And the reality is they're not dealing with human beings and souls. They're dealing with numbers. And then we hate that. I'm not just a number. You know what I mean? Even my father's in business, and he's this old guy. He's 90 years old. And he's like, I just need to spend more in order to get bigger audiences. I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, maybe there's another way to do it that we're finding out today on this show.
Having an audience doesn't necessarily mean they're going to applaud for you. So make sure you have the right audience.
Wow, that's a great place to take a break. I'm Alan Taylor, Amanda Holmes. And once again, the product, if you want to check it out, is Fat Fudge, phatfudge.com. And we'll be right back with more of Mary.
Sees it rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, once again, we're talking with Mary Shenouda from Fat Fudge, phatfudge.com. She is passing $1 million this year. She has one employee, and it's her.
Hi. Woo. You talk to your CFO? Hi. Your CMO? Hi.
The fudge packer?
A salesperson? Oh, hello.
Do you actually pack this still, or is
by it? By hand, not anymore. Now okay. I have a manufacturer. It took a really long time to find a good one. Like, you've got to call and test a lot.
I also just have to speak that 95% of businesses fail, so the fact that you've been able to get to that mark in 2 years by yourself without any funding too, that you got that much trust and respect from your audience, that is why I had to have you here.
All right, so the question is, why would somebody buy it?
So if you use protein bars, when you eat them, they can really bog you down because your digestive system is stopping to break it down.
And excuse me, I have to use the restroom. I've just had two of those protein bars, but not, I'm joking.
And that's assuming the protein bar has clean ingredients. And then I really loved goo and gel packets, but when I went paleo, those were not the sources of fuel that I wanted. So if you are an athlete, use it. If you're traveling and want clean food source, use it. If you're a new mother that wanting to lose baby fat and gain energy for when you're lactating, use it. Some people that are going through a little more serious medical conditions, they'll use it to keep fuel up.
Because this all started because of an immune deficiency syndrome that you had.
Celiac, yeah. So what I've done with Fat Fudge is I've created it. And I said, this is what I wanted you guys to have an alternative fuel source. And then I've let my audience tell me how they use it. So everything I just listed, those are people telling me, this is how I use Fat Fudge.
And if you want to see that, and again, if you have a product and you're trying to figure out, how do I get this out on social? How do I get an organic following online? Go to Fat Fudge on Instagram. It's P-H-A-T. And you'll see, Mary does such an amazing job of getting people their real life experiences, right? Like someone running a triathlon, somebody epically like kayaking.
Or like the first responders in the fires. They get crap food. And so I was donating it and they were like, we love this stuff. And like, they're in the fires with Fat Fudge. I'm like, fight the fire. it's so incredible that I get that stuff inbound coming to me, because a lot of times you don't even know if you're really making an impact, or is my product even that cool, or does it make as a help?
I got to tell you, I have such respect for what you've done, because I just found out literally here live, she goes, I'm the only employee. I'm doing $1 million in business in just 2 years, following my gut, believing in what I do. You're all alone in this. It's amazing what you've done. I can't wait to continue to follow your story. But what have you done along the way that you look back and go, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Or is there anything in there that you can say, had I done this better? But I mean, you have such a great story, but I just wonder what your own personal thoughts on that.
Anything that I learned today wouldn't have been learned had I not made micro mistakes. And they weren't really mistakes. They were just like, I do think there's a lot of magic in being naive when you're building something, because you won't follow the template. You'll find a new way. And there's always going to be things that go wrong. So they're not even mistakes. They're just things that went wrong. And now I know what could possibly go wrong moving forward. And I wouldn't have known that had I followed someone else's template. No, there isn't really much I would have done differently.
I love that.
There's stuff I'm going to do differently moving forward.
Talk about the future. crystal ball.
So being a solopreneur is smart until it's not. And now it's not smart to be by myself anymore. Now that I understand the different components of the business and where I want to take it and have a goal in mind, now it's about being strategic about like potentially raising funding or doing another pre-order. And I tell this to a lot of people that come to me for advice. Just because someone wants to write you a check doesn't mean they're qualified to write you a check. So don't be so thirsty that you drink from every cup of opportunity. So right now it's me determining, now do I start going more traditional or do I keep on this path? And then finding out, you know, who's the best person to hire. So for me, it's like operations and then marketing, things like that.
And this is another thing that I love about you, Mary, is that you're like, I'm trying to figure out which person to accept their check. I have a couple of few and I haven't decided yet. That is just don't find people. That's Mary, okay? That's Mary for you.
I hate to say it because it's cliche, but there is something about Mary. There's no question about it. Mary, advice to entrepreneurs.
Advice to entrepreneurs.
Follow your gut. I know that's right.
I know it's so kitschy though. Honestly, I really don't know. It depends on the entrepreneur. You just give one. Like, don't take anybody's advice.
Didn't you say?
There's my advice.
That's true. But didn't you say that everyone's an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I think whether or not you want to accept it, everyone's an entrepreneur because everyone's designing something about their lives. So wake up.
Wow. This is really fun. Really fun to meet somebody that is so free-flowing that she can say, don't take anybody's advice. Okay, well then this show is over officially as of today because of Mary Shinoda. But at least we have 4 packets of Fat Fudge. You can find her at fatfudge.com, P-H-A-T. Also at Fat Fudge for your social media. And what else, Mary?
And Paleo Chef.
At Paleo Chef. So Fat Fudge is where you're going to follow the business, everything about the business. Paleo Chef is where you're going to follow Fat Fudge, being a private chef, what goes on when I have meltdowns, how to take care of your body, and then jokes.
We got one new follower today. Thank you, Mary Shinoda.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to Amanda Holmes from Ted Holmes International. She has the best friends, and they make fudge. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. We will see you on the next Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.